It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Talking New York Giants and, of course, everything NFL with you right here on Giants.com. We also take your questions on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat, and the phone lines are open. We're taking your calls for the next 1.5 hour at 201-939-4513. Flying solo today. Busy show, though. We're going to replay some interviews we did earlier in the offseason. We're going to do a little Eisen's mailbag segment that you saw the video version on the web yesterday. We're going to have a lot of fun with that as well. But first, I want to touch a little bit on the Giants losing Devin Thomas. And it's really the second playoff/Super Bowl championship game hero the Giants have lost in this offseason. Obviously, Mario Manningham on his way to San Francisco. Brandon Jacobs on the way to San Francisco as well. But the loss of Devin Thomas, it hurts emotionally for Giant fans, and I get that. He's a guy that made those two big fumble recoveries against the 49ers in the championship game. Really, and without those two plays, the Giants don't beat the 49ers. The way the San Francisco 49er defense absolutely shut the Giants down in that game, to me, is still astounding. They just did a phenomenal job. The only matchup, really, the Giants won all game long was Victor Cruz man-on-man with Carlos Rogers in the slot. Otherwise, they had a lot of trouble moving the ball. Eventually, of course, they got those two big special teams play that won in the game. The Giants won the turnover battle, something the 49ers had really excelled at all season long. But losing a guy like Devin Thomas hurts, but it's a situation where the Giants are very limited in terms of what they can do based on their salary cap. And at this point, the guys you're going to bring in, unless somebody drops off a roster in June, are going to be, you know, veteran minimums just above that type of guys. And they just can't afford bringing in a special teams ace for the type of money that he got where he went. So it's a thing, obviously, that hurts for Giant fans. But part of the business, you know, there's one thing that's constant in the NFL, it's change. That's something that's not going to change in the NFL. There's so much turnover from year to year, and it hurts. But that's really something the Giants are going to have to deal with moving forward, losing some of their players here and there as the offseason wears on. Of course, everyone here in the Timex Performance Center is getting ready and preparing for the NFL draft. That comes away in a few weeks. We'll get more into the draft once we get to the second week of April or so. I'll bring on a couple people that do mock drafts. We'll talk about some of the prospects out there, have some fun with that. That should be a lot of fun right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ina out in Long Island. Ina, good morning. How are you? Ina, you there? Looks like we lost Ina. We'll try to get her back up on the line here at 201-939-4513. Your phone lines are open. And, of course, the Giants were fortunate enough to bring back one of their special team aces, or really two of their special team aces, earlier in the offseason. Dominic Hixon, their kick returner, is back on the roster, as is Steve Weatherford. Weatherford given a 5-year contract. Dominic Hixon brought back on a 1-year basis. Of course, Hixon recovering from that torn ACL he suffered last year, second in just as many years for him. And, of course, Steve Weatherford really had a great year as the Giants punter. Very important to get him back in the fold. 201-939-4513. Andrew's down in Tampa Bay, Florida. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. I was just calling in to discuss the Giants running back depth, because I think they have a really good chance to do well this next year, as long as Ahmad Bradshaw can stay healthy, because he's a really powerful back. I mean, losing Brandon Jacobs as his backup and as the share on the running back squad might hurt the team a little bit, but as long as Ahmad can stay healthy, I think you guys have a really, really good chance of making the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, look, and you're funny. You know, you mentioned Ahmad Bradshaw being a powerful back, and I think that's really a misconception people have. You're right. You know, people consider Brandon Jacobs the power back, and yeah, he's the big guy, weighs 275 pounds, whatever it is. But Bradshaw, despite his size, and, you know, if he's walking around, he's shorter than me. He's not a huge guy, but he is a powerful back. You saw what he did at the Brodnie Pool in that Jets game last year. But he's going to need some help. And as good as Bradshaw is, I wouldn't trust him to get many more than 12 or 15 carries a game if you want him to stay healthy. He has those chronic ankle problems, chronic foot problems. You really need a complementary running back to take 10 to 12 carries a game from him. As good as the Giants passing game was last year, Andrew, with Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, the Giants want a balanced attack. So they're going to have to get a second running back. And honestly, I don't think that second guy is on the roster right now. I don't think DJ Ware is a 10 to 12 carry a game guy. And I'm not sure Darrell Scott has shown the coaching staff enough either. Is he shifty enough? Can he hold on to the football? He's had fumble issues not only in games but in practice. I think you'll either see somebody come in the draft in a mid to late round pick, or once you get through the draft, if you don't draft a running back, they can dip into free agency and bring in somebody with a little bit more experience. But I think that's a real focus for the Giants next year, and I think that's what you hear from head coach Tom Coughlin in the offseason. The Giants have to get better running the football. I mean, they were ranked in the bottom of the league all season. The fact they were able to win the Super Bowl, being ranked as the 32nd best run offense in the league, is really astounding.
Yeah, it really is. If they were to go to the free agency, who do you see them taking at running back?
Well, I'm not sure if anybody out there right now is somebody they would pick. I think they would probably wait for maybe cuts in June as a running back to see if they can kind of scoop a veteran up. There's not many guys left out there. Mike Tolbert got picked up. So there aren't just a lot of guys really out there that I think would interest the Giants at this point. Honestly, if I was a betting man and I don't know anything, I don't know what the front office is thinking upstairs, but I think the Giants will certainly leave the draft with another running back on the roster, maybe in the third, fourth round, maybe the second, and I think that's a guy the Giants will try to make their secondary running back this season.
So you don't think that the Giants would even consider going after one of the big running backs who are having contract issues, someone like Matt Forte, make an offer to someone like him to try to get a featured back on their team?
No, you know what? I don't think they have the money, really, to spend. When you make a trade for a big contract guy like that, a lot of the salary gets pushed up. I don't think the Giants have that type of financial flexibility to make that type of move. But I also think, and this is not just the Giants, and again, I don't know what they're thinking upstairs, but a general feeling around the NFL is that a lot of teams don't spend a lot of money on running backs anymore. If you find a decent runner and you put him behind the good offensive line, he's going to be fine. And considering where the Giants' resources are, remember, they're eventually going to have to pay Jason Pierre-Paul in a couple years. Hakeem Nicks is due for a big contract. Victor Cruz is going to get a big contract. Kenny Phillips is going to get a big contract fairly soon. You got to worry about Corey Webster's contracts up after this year. There are a lot of guys on this Giant roster that are going to be due big money. I don't think they can afford to bring in a high-priced running back like that, considering the way they're, you know, structured in terms of their salary.
That's true. But they do need to find some kind of balance if they want their passing game to keep going. Because without the running game, the defense is just going to, you know, double covering Victor Cruz, double covering Hakeem Nicks. So that, I think I agree with you that they just need to find, you know, someone to fill in that hole so that they can distract the defenses.
Yeah, Andrew, I agree 100%. And thank you very much for the call. I think bringing in a running back is very important for the Giants, whether in the draft or free agency. They need somebody to compliment Ahmad Bradshaw. And frankly, they need to make sure they have this offensive line set up. The offensive line, in terms of their run blocking last year, did not do a great job. They did better once David Deal moved out to left tackle. We'll see how they align the offensive line this year. My guess is that David Deal will be moved outside the right tackle, and then we'll see what they do at one of the guard positions to compliment David Boss and Chris Snee. And I'm sure you saw the reports yesterday. Chris Snee did undergo elbow surgery in the offseason. Not considered serious, according to Chris's quotes yesterday. Chris did say that to the media yesterday, that did have the elbow surgery. It was reported. That's what Chris said to the New York media. Just that's what it said in the papers this morning. He said it was not serious. He should be good to go this upcoming season. 201-939-4513. Javier in the Bronx. Javier, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Congratulations on the big blue win. My question is about the wide receivers, even though I know we're on the running back. I was wondering, now that you have Devin Thomas leave, you have Mario Manningham leave, you have Brandon Jacobs leave, you have all these key players leaving, I look at Javale Jernigan, and he's a small guy like Victor Cruz. I was wondering maybe if the physical advantage that Ramsey Barton has of getting down the field, being a big guy, can the Giants this next year be a pass first, then a run game? Can that be implicated this season coming up only?
Well, I mean, sure can. I think they were a pass first, run second team last year. And thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. That's pretty much what they were last year, a pass first, run second team. And it worked well. In terms of Ramsey Barton and Jarrell Jernigan, Cruz is a lot bigger than Jarrell Jernigan, first of all. Cruz is about 6'1". He's a little bit taller than me. He's a little bit smaller than Akeem Nicks, I would say. In terms of height, they're about the same. But Jarrell Jernigan's a small guy. I mean, you see him walking around, you know he's a receiver or a cornerback. You can tell. He's that shifty, I'm not going to say Wes Welker, but that body type of receiver in the slot where he's going to be quick, catch those short passes, little run after the catch. He's could be a good punt returner if he could hold on to the football. He's a guy that you can work in the slot if you want a guy in that mold. Then again, you have Ramsey Barton. You can always play Victor Cruz in the slot and in those three wide receiver packages, put Ramsey Barton outside. He's the guy that doesn't have top-end speed, but he's big. He has good hands. From all reports and what the coaches and his teammates say, he is good in the classroom, and that's another good way the Giants can go in terms of third wide receiver. They could always draft somebody as well. We'll see. But that's where the Giants think can go with their wide receivers. You either have Jernigan inside or you can put Barton outside and move Cruz into the slot. Either method could work for the Giants next year. But in terms of bringing in a wide receiver in the draft or free agency, I think the Giants hope that their answer right now is in-house and they don't have to go out and get somebody. But I would not be surprised to see another wide receiver get put into this mix by next season, considering they lost Devin Thomas and Mario Manningham. 201-939-4513. Denise is in Union, New Jersey. Denise, good morning.
Hi. My biggest concern is with the Giants and the free agent is probably more linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really concerned about the wide receivers. I think Dominic Hickman can definitely fill in Mario Manningham.
Right.
But just the linebackers, I know Jonathan Goff has been exploring a free agent, but my concern is probably that position more than anything. And that's one of my concerns.
Nah, Denise, you know what? And it's fair. Jerry Reese was asked the other day who's going to be the Giants starting middle linebacker this year. And he said, I don't know. And I don't have an answer for you either, to be honest with you, Denise. It's a very tough situation. You know, are you going to hand the job over to a Greg Jones or a Mark Herzlich, two second-year guys that were late-round picks? I'm not sure I would do that, to be totally honest with you. I don't think either guy showed enough next year that you can, you know, go into a season expecting them to win that job. Now, do you give them a chance in training camp to go out there and do it? Sure, but you can't count on it. So whether it's bringing back a Chase Blackburn or Jonathan Goff, two guys that are still on the free agent market, testing the waters, or you draft somebody, which I think the Giants will certainly take into consideration too heading into the draft, whether or not you bring somebody in those early to mid rounds to play middle linebacker. Another thing that's kind of been thrown around is maybe trying Michael Boley at that Mike spot in your base 4-3 defense. He did that a lot in your nickel and dime packages. You could put Michael Boley in the middle and then start Jaquan Williams and Matthias Kiwanuka outside. I think all the things are on the table, but I think you'll see at least one or two other middle linebackers be brought in between now and training camp, whether it's in the draft or free agency, to compete for that spot.
Right.
Hey, Denise, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call. 201-939-4513. And Denise made a great point, by the way. Dominic Hickson could step in and take some of the heat off those other guys at that third or fourth wide receiver position if he can stay healthy. I did not bring up his name. Of course, he's had two serious knee injuries 2 years in a row. He says his rehab's going well, and we'll hear from Dominic Hickson later on in the show. We did an interview with him after he re-signed with the Giants earlier in the offseason. You'll hear from him later in the show. 201-939-4513. Dominic's out in Denver, Colorado. Good morning, Dom.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
Good. I'm just calling about the running back depth chart. I know we, you know, are looking probably for a big back to replace Jacobs, but I mean, with Bradshaw's injury history, what do you think about a guy like LaMichael James in the middle rounds? You know, one of those fast backs also to have just for that kind of home run hitter.
And you know what? I like the fact that you pick a home run hitter and a smaller, fast guy to compliment Bradshaw rather than a big guy. Because I don't think Bradshaw is as much of a home run hitter as he used to be. He's more of a power guy, and he can get those tough yards. I like the idea of having a big play running back, especially a guy that can catch balls out of the backfield. Bradshaw has never been a very accomplished wide receiver. He can do it, but I'd like the idea of bringing in a guy like that to be a dynamic player, catching passes and being more of a big play guy. I think that's certainly a possibility. Though, again, I don't know what they're thinking upstairs, but I think that's something that is certainly an option. And obviously, he's getting some good reviews from the scouts and stuff that have seen him at the combine, et cetera.
Definitely. Appreciate the call.
All right, Dominic, thanks for calling, man. 201-939-4513. You guys have been doing a great job on the phone all morning long. We'll also be going to Twitter at #GiantsChat. To check out your questions there. Let's see. What do we got here? Dominic Hixon. Brian Taylor brings that up as well. Brian Bleeds Blue on Twitter about Dominic Hixon being a potential third or fourth wide receiver option for the Giants next year as well. He knows the system. Good guy. Knows what he's doing. We'll keep an eye on that. 201-939-4513. We lost Ina on Long Island. We're going to bring her back into the fold now. Ina, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. My question is, seeing that we've lost a running back, I was wondering the wide receiver position. Hakeem Nicks has better numbers than Calvin Johnson from Detroit. I was wondering if his contract is going to be something spectacular as well.
Well, I got to tell you, I haven't talked to the guys up there, but I can imagine the Giants front office wasn't exactly thrilled when they saw the contract that Calvin Johnson got, because that really sets the market for other wide receivers out there for whenever Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz have to be extended. I'm sure that's the contract that their agents are going to want to try to use as a benchmark. The Giants will obviously try to work against that. But if your question is Hakeem Nicks going to get a huge payday when he becomes a free agent? I think the answer is probably yes, unless something happens between now and then. He's an excellent wide receiver. He can do everything. He can go deep. He can catch balls on the inside, on the outside. He does everything. The only issue he's had is staying healthy. He's had some nagging leg injuries throughout his career. You know, but look, Hakeem Nicks is fantastic, and yes, he will try to get that type of money. I doubt it'll be that extreme of a contract, but Hakeem Nicks will eventually get paid. There's no question about that.
All right, and my last question.
Sure.
Do you see Victor Cruz being seeing how he has such an emotional connection with New Jersey and the city and everything and what he's done for the Giants organization? Do you think he'll be a long-term guy, or is he taking notes on what happened to Steve Smith?
I think Victor Cruz is going to be a long-term guy here. Look, the only reason Steve Smith wasn't here anymore is because of that terrible knee injury. So, assuming Victor Cruz stays healthy and he continues to have the type of production that he had last year, which was absolutely, you know, out of this world fantastic, the Giants are going to want him back. I'm sure Victor Cruz wants to stay with the Giants. He loves it here. He grew up here. So, usually when both sides want the player to stay where he is, they'll find a way to keep the player where he is. My guess is that's what's going to happen eventually. When he becomes a free agent, that's not going to happen for a little while still. But I would not be worried about Victor Cruz skipping town anytime soon.
All right. And Stewart from Carolina to the Giants. And is there any what is the works in that?
I don't think there's anything to that right now. We'll keep an eye on the Jonathan Stewart, a guy that's had some injury problems in the past. That's nothing that I know about here, and he hasn't been here as far as I understand. You know, the guys upstairs. You know,
right.
I don't know what they're doing, but that is a veteran that's available. That's something they can consider. Obviously, he's a guy that's had production in this league before, and he could help at running back. I think finding someone in the draft is probably a little bit more likely, in my opinion.
All right. Thank you very much, and go G-Man.
Thanks, Ina. Great call. 201-939-4513. Good job on the phones this morning, guys. Excellent work. And you're sending your questions on Twitter as well. Thank you very much. We talked about Dominic Hixon during the show. The Giants obviously have lost a couple of wide receivers in free agency. Mario Manningham heading to San Francisco, and Devin Thomas, obviously, he's signed with the Bears, right? And he's heading on his way to Chicago. So the Giants lost two wide receivers, and Devin Thomas, obviously, a very big factor on special teams. I had a chance to catch up with Dominic Hixon a few weeks ago when he re-signed this contract with the Giants. He will be returning off those two knee injuries. Let's take a listen. Congratulations, you're back in the fold. Happy to be back as a Giant once again.
Oh, yeah, this is something, you know, I was thinking about the whole time, you know, during the Super Bowl run, you know, kind of wondering about my future. And, you know, thank God I'm here. You know, I'm still a Giant.
What did you do? Did you watch the games from home? How did you approach kind of watching the season from afar?
I came out for the playoff game. I was here when we played Atlanta. Then, you know, watched other games on TV. And then, you know, of course, was at the Super Bowl. But, no, I didn't miss anything. I watched all the games and, you know, texting and talking to the guys, you know, throughout the week.
What kind of fan are you watching the game? Are you yelling and screaming at the TV? Are you, like, you know, huddle up? What are you doing?
I tried to go see it at a local restaurant. I was a little too loud. So I had to go back home and, you know, just kind of be by myself and watch it because I'm definitely the guy screaming at the TV, you know, calling out plays, doing that type of stuff. My friends were very entertained by it. They thought it was funny.
Sure they were. All right, let's talk about the rehab a little bit. How are you? Where are you right now? And how close are you to being 100%?
It's going real well. I'm down in Gulf Breeze, Florida at the Andrews Institute. Down there with Hunter and Hunter Stark, he's working me every day, and we're working hard, and I'm pretty much, I would like to say I'm about 80-90%, maybe even a little more, but I'm doing everything. It's just getting faster at doing it and, you know, kind of perfecting the craft.
So you're running, cutting, routes, the whole nine yards?
Yeah. Yep, doing all that, and it just seems like, you know, snap of a finger, you know, I was getting surgery yesterday, and just keep on putting in the work and, you know, be full speed.
I know you rehabbed at home the first time. You decided to switch it up this time. Why?
Yeah, it just everything felt like deja vu, kind of even being back up before surgery, you know, sitting there, and it just felt like it was all happening again. So going back home and doing rehab there at Ohio State, I thought it would be just kind of a little longer and drawn out. So I ended up talking to the training staff, and they said, you know, Gulf Breeze, Florida, you know, they're one of the best, so I'm down there.
Avoiding Ohio winters probably wasn't a bad part of it either, huh?
That was definitely a perk. I'll say that you can't beat the Florida weather.
All right. So as you come back here, when do you think you're going to be 100%? By minicamp, by training camp, when?
You know, my goal is when I come in here mid-April to be 100%. And then go ahead and be ready to get a full summer workout in and to be able to do the OTAs and all the off-season training. I don't want to, you know, skip any of that. And I talked to Dr. Warren today, and he said, you know, there's no reason why I shouldn't be ready.
How has the rehab been different this time around as compared to the first time you hurt your knee?
Just kind of with a different physical therapist, doing some different things, doing a lot of performance-based things, and it may not be, you know, running at full speed, but it's doing things fast, you know, what you can do. And they have a lot of great techniques down there, and it's something that's different. So, like I said, just out there working hard every day and, you know, trying not to let a day go by.
Is it a little less stressful considering you've been through it before and you kind of know what to expect and you kind of figure out how your body's reacting to the rehab?
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that we talked about too. I'm like, it seems easier this time. And they're like, no, it's just the second time going around, like you said, and expecting and knowing what to expect and kind of being the steps. And even, you know, if it's sore one day, to back off it. And, you know, just different little things like that, that going through it before, that you know what to do now.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, and it's going to be a little controversy in the locker room, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Best catch of any Giant wide receiver this year? I know what I'm going to vote for, and I think I know what you're going to vote for. What do you think?
That's tough. You know what? I say best catch. I'm going to have to go ahead and give the Manningham in the Super Bowl. Oh, wow. On the sideline. I mean, that crucial situation, and, you know, without that catch, I mean, you know, it'd have been a, you know, even more interesting of a drive. So I'm going to have to give it to Mario. Don't tell him I said that, though.
I won't. Well, you got Hakeem against Green Bay with the Hail Mary. That was good. And, of course, I mean, your catch. I mean, how many guys makes a one-handed catch, concentrates, not only hurts the knee on the play, comes down with the ball in the pretty much a game-winning situation? That's pretty good, too.
Well, I appreciate it. the one thing when I look at that play every time is I probably should have caught it the first time. You know, and that's just me being hard on myself, but I appreciate it, though.
All right, Dominic, congratulations. Welcome back.
All right, thanks.
That's Dominic Hixon, New York Giants wide receiver. And, of course, he will be given an opportunity to play wide receiver next year. And, of course, we'll expect a big role for him in the return game if he gets back from those serious knee injuries. Now, comment got passed on to me for our good friends over at Big Blue Interactive. Now, the June 1st cuts, I read when the CBA got signed that the June 1st cuts might not be in effect anymore because of the way salaries are structured, et cetera, et cetera. But I have not seen on paper, and I've done a little Google search here to try to find out whether or not that's going to be the case, and I haven't found anything conclusive either way. I appreciate the comment being passed along. I'll try to figure that out by the time we get to next week. But I did hear at some point that they were considering, you know, changing the rules where they wouldn't have those June 1st cuts, and I believe you can actually move guys up, release them now, and have them count almost as June 1st cuts. I've read that being a part of the rule book, too. There's a lot of weird stuff with the NFL CBA, but I'll try to get that straightened out next week and find out exactly what the deal is. Appreciate the comment. 201-939-4513. Also, yesterday, every Thursday. We have a video version of Eisen's Mailbag on Giants.com. Neil has done a great job on Giants.com getting it up there. A lot of people are sending their questions to Michael Eisen. I sat with him yesterday, and we took some of those questions from the fans. Let's go to Ted in Brooklyn. With Kareem McKenzie not returning to the Giants, do you see David Deal moving out to right tackle, or will James Brewer get an opportunity?
My guess is most likely of those two scenarios, David Deal moving out, especially since Kevin Booth proved he could play left guard last year. James Brewer, I think, is just not experienced enough, has not been on the field at all. Other scenarios could unfold. Those are the two presented. Of those two, I would say David Deal most likely going to right tackle.
Let's go to Paul in Montclair. He wants to know if Ryan Perilou will be given a legitimate chance to make the roster this year as opposed to last year when he was on that taxi.
Well, Ryan Perilou, I think, set a record for practice squad transactions. I believe he was on and off 9 times during the season. Might have even been more counting the playoffs. But, you know, I think the Giants like Ryan Perilou. He's the young quarterback from LSU. A lot will depend, as it has been, on whether the Giants are going to carry a third quarterback. They've only had two for the last few years. I think since 2008, they like having that extra roster spot. So I don't know if he'll really get a spot to stick on the roster.
Out to Kenny in Summers, he wants to know, and this is really a tough one, who's going to be the Giants' middle linebacker this season?
I don't know. Anybody have any ideas? I don't know. I really don't know. I guess Jonathan Goff's still a free agent. He hasn't been signed. Mark Herzlick is a possibility. Greg Jones, I still believe. I think you and I have discussed this, that the starting middle linebacker on opening day is not on the roster as we speak today.
And we spoke, and maybe Michael Boley might be given an opportunity to
perhaps
move him over to middle linebacker.
That's
too.
A good thought
Chase
also.
Blackburn's still a free agent who started a middle linebacker during the Super Bowl run. All right, next question comes from Andy in Trenton, New Jersey. Now, he's apparently a little superstitious. The Giants have made their last two Super Bowl runs on the road, so they've worn their white jerseys. Any chance the Giants decide to wear their white jerseys at home, where their record hasn't been so great the last few years?
Interesting question. I don't think so. I think we're still big blue. I also think, you know, that wearing white jerseys home, that's really a Dallas thing. Cowboys have always done that. And I remember back in the 80s sometimes the Cowboys, the Giants would wear white at home and force the Cowboys to wear blue. And I don't think you really want to get into all that. The Giants wear blue at home. They've always worn blue at home. I don't see that changing, although that is an interesting idea.
All right, the question, the final one of the mailbag, comes from Jeff up in Albany. Obviously, he says the Giants have had a little bit of fun since Tim Tebow came to the New York Jets. John Mara, a little comment earlier in the week, which got some laughs. Uh-huh. But he wants to know, seriously, the Giants would consider running a little wildcat for 5 to 10 plays a game. We know how much Tom Coughlin loves trick plays,
yeah.
Mike.
I really don't see that happening. You know, if you're going to do that, you're really taking the ball out of Eli Manning's hands.
Why would you want to do that?
Why would you want to do that? You know, the Giants set a franchise yardage record in 2011. Eli had the sixth highest passing total in NFL history, passing yardage total, excuse me. You know, he's obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the league. If you're going to put the ball in somebody else's hands to run the offense, you're taking it out of his hands. I don't see why you'd want to do that. I give that a resounding no.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always.
My pleasure, John. Thanks for cranking up the wind a little today.
Yeah, it is windy here at the Timex Performance Center. And Eisen's Mailbag comes your way every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday, Michael has a written edition. And on Thursday, we have the video version of Eisen's Mailbag. And that's Eisen's Mailbag on Giants.com. Everybody, great job all week. It's great to have Big Blue Kickoff Live back on the air for the rest of the offseason heading into next season. We'll have a day off here and there, like Good Friday, for example. Next Friday, we're not going to be here to do the show. I will be away on Monday, so we'll have those 2 days off. But next week, a couple special guests. Tom Rock will join us early on in the week, the Giants beat reporter from Newsday. Lance Meadow will join us on Monday. Tom Rock and I will do the show. We won't take your calls on Tuesday morning, but we will have the show up there at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning with Tom Rock from Newsday. Wednesday, Joe Skiba will be joining us, our equipment director. The Nike will be unveiling their the new uniforms on Tuesday. So Joe Skiba, our equipment director, will join us on Wednesday, and we'll talk about all that cool New Jersey stuff, all the new stuff Nike's doing with the Giants uniforms. That should be a lot of fun. And then we'll wrap up the week on Thursday. I'll find somebody around the league to talk about maybe some draft stuff. Who knows? I haven't made that decision yet, but we'll see. It should be a fun week. Everybody, thanks for making this week great. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. For Dave Melroy, working the board, Nele, of course. I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com.